get my eyes on.
Isaiah chapter number 9. Just going to read just a couple of verses. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to meet us. Dear and Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you, dear God, that you gave us your gift. And Lord, that he's no longer a child. He wasn't a child when he came, but Lord, you gave him in human form as a child. He lived for us. And Lord, he died for us. And he was risen again that we might have eternal life. And Lord, I thank you for that wonderful gift. And I pray that you'd help my voice, my mind, and the things I say in order to exalt you and lift your name. And Lord, help me to rightly divide the words of truth. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would leave here changed, made anew in some portion of our life. I pray, Lord, there would be an eternal work that only you can do. And I ask you for this great blessing. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, like I said, Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. If that noise is a little bit, if you can hear those singing, you can close those doors there. Isaiah 9, verse number 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." That last statement says it's going to happen. It's going to take place. The first two statements in chapter number 6, or verse number 6, have already taken place. "For unto us a child is born." That's his deity. That's God in flesh. "Unto us a son is given." That's Jesus. Those things have taken place, and that's what we're celebrating on our Christmas day. But if you go on to say, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder," that has not taken place yet. And so we see the rest of that portion of Scripture, at least that government port, has not taken place. But in that statement, I just put down, there's a statement, "His name shall be called Wonderful." And I'm just going to stop there with that, just that word. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. And so the songwriter, Frederick Lehman, if I said it right, Lehman, wrote a worshipful song about the love of God. And I like that song. It's probably one of my favorite songs. But I'm going to read to you the last statement or stanza of that particular song that describes the love of God. Let me listen to you, if you would, just follow along as I read. He said, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." He was saying if all the ocean was filled with ink, and every stalk was a pen, and every scribe, every one of us could write the love of God, said that really the scrolls and the sky was the scroll. It couldn't contain it. That's a pretty good definition of the love of God. For a human perspective. But if you were to take that attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, that is something that is an inexhaustible attribute that cannot, that would take you and I all of eternity to even come to know what that is. Well, when you look at this name, it's much like that. Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. What does that mean? Well, it's like the love of God. It means a lot of different. If I was to go through this crowd, this group, and say, "Why is God wonderful to you?" Some of you might give testimony and say, "He's wonderful to me because of the prayers in which He's answered to me. He's been so wonderful in answering those prayers." Some of you may give testimony, have in the past, say, "He's so wonderful because God saved me and changed my life and set me on a new course." Some of you would say he's been so wonderful to me because he speaks to me so specifically and so personally from his word that I know it's only God that does it. There are a million things that people could say about why Jesus Christ, his name is wonderful. A lot of things could be said about it. But I'm just going to take, I'm going to try my best, like this songwriter did, just to take from these scriptures, if I can, and tell you why I believe, just a few things, why he is wonderful. Why he is wonderful. I just want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ for this Christmas season. And really, that's what it's all about, to be able to exalt the Lord and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe God ever wants us to stop talking and telling about his praises. And one thing you could say, he is wonderful. And the first thing I put down, he is wonderful because he is God's gift. Have you ever really thought about that? We're going to receive gifts, at least most of us will. Maybe one, when I was a kid, we didn't get a whole lot of gifts. We had a few gifts that we were given. I didn't grow up in a wealthy family. My relatives may be wealthy, but we weren't. And so we got a few gifts. And most of you are going to get a few gifts, probably for Christmas, or maybe you've already received some of those gifts. And some of those gifts we enjoy more than others. But when you look at this, the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful because he is God's gift. Have you thought about it? That's God's gift to us. And so I want you to look there in John 3:16 and just listen to these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so you see the Lord Jesus Christ gave. This is a verse I think we all should learn in Romans 8, verse number 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Anything God would withhold from you if he wouldn't, he gave you his Son as a gift? The Lord says in that verse, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 15 says this, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's the verse. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That word unspeakable means a priceless gift. God's gift. God gave his Son. That's his gift to this world and to this earth and to you and me individually. I love Christmas time. I think the older I get, the more I love it, the more I enjoy it. I love to see my wife. She's like a big kid, and that's probably... I'm the old-fashioned Grinch, and she's the big kid, and she loves Christmas, and she loves the little trinkets, and she loves the things, and just getting them out and putting them on the Christmas tree, and I pick out the tree, I put it on the stand, and I sit it in the room, and she does the rest, and I enjoy all the rest, but she enjoys those things, and she'd like me for me to participate in some of that, but I enjoy watching her and seeing her light up of all the memories that come from maybe the things that we buy, certain places we go, she'll buy an ornament for that place to remind her and I that that was a place we had a special moment, special time. And so we put that on the Christmas tree, and so you can watch those things. And for us, it's enjoyable. I enjoy the lights. If you go through our neighborhood this year, I don't know what it is, but somebody just got in gear, and a lot of people put up lights. I think we put up less lights this year than we had before, but there are lights. I enjoy the lights. My wife said that her dad would take them through the neighborhood and would say, look at the lights, and holler at them sometimes when they weren't paying attention, saying, look at the lights, and I enjoy the lights. I enjoy the food. I always like to eat, you could tell, but I enjoy Christmas food and all the little snacks and all the little trinkets. And I enjoy that time. I enjoy to see people, this spirit in the atmosphere. I enjoy the weather. Me and my wife, when we lived in Tennessee, we enjoyed going to Dollywood. If you ever get a chance to go to Dollywood, go in the Christmas time. I don't really care much about the rides, but they do have a lot of plays and things you can go to, just Christmas things. And lots of, we drink hot chocolate and out there in the cold and beautiful lights everywhere. It's an enjoyable time. And I enjoy that. And I enjoy seeing her, and I enjoy all the people that are enjoying it. And I think really people, a lot of people are enjoyable, and they're excited because they're giving to someone else. But when I look at Christmas, and I think about this in my own mind, if I didn't know Christ, then Christmas would not be what it is to me. Christmas is special to all of us, but especially to a believer because of Christ. Not Santa Claus, not all the things, but Christmas is wonderful strictly on the basis of Christ and the Christ child. I believe that's why people are so excited. But you take Christ out of Christmas and say, Happy Holidays, Happy Santa. I want to tell you, you miss the meaning of His wonderful name and God's wonderful gift. And so we need to look at those things and see those. I want you to turn in your Bible with me to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. I want to show you a verse. I'm going to turn this off while we're doing this because it's making a buzzing noise. We tried to fix it. Hopefully after the first year they will fix it. They fixed it a little bit, but it's still making a noise. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23. I want to show you a verse that you all know, but the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to tell you something, that's a great verse. And so he says through this, I don't know which one's louder, but when you look at this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so if there's eternal life, that means there's an eternal death. You understand that? God gives eternal life because when he's talking about death here, he's talking about eternal death. And when God gave his son, he gave a gift that just keeps on giving. He gave eternal life through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world, he gave his love. He gave his gift. And by the way, he gave us something you don't have to work for. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, when God gave the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives him as a free gift. You don't have to earn him. You don't have to work for him. You don't have to worry about losing him because he's eternal life. It's an eternal gift. He's an eternal Savior. And so when God gave, he gave an eternal gift. Me and my wife, I told you about, we like to travel and go different places. One place we went while we were in Tennessee is the Biltmore. You see the Biltmore mansion there on the billboard signs going down the interstate, and they try to get you to go see the Biltmore mansion. And so all those years we were there, we finally went to look at the Biltmore. And brother, it's a mansion. If you ever not seen a mansion, go to the Biltmore. You'll see one. Beautiful place, beautiful grounds, beautiful inside. I mean, the man lived like a king. And his father, actually, he was probably the one that was given the least amount of money. He was given $10 million. When you look out on his porch from there in the Carolinas all the way to the National Park in Gatlinburg was his property. All of it. That's a lot of land. And that house, like I said, was miraculous and is miraculous to see. And you know, people can give us gifts. Father gave his son $10 million. He did a lot with it. People can give us gifts and give us land and give us money and give us dowries. But only God can give eternal life. And when God gave his son, it was a gift from heaven. It's God's gift. And so his name is wonderful because he's God's gift to man. Do you know him? Are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life, or in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're on your way to heaven? That's when it really becomes wonderful. If you don't know Jesus, then today is a day. to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Even number two, He's wonderful because of His person. Because of His person. I said you could say all kinds of things, but let's go back to our portion of Scripture about how He's wonderful. But in Romans, or Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be." And then He begins to give us all these different titles and these different names of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did a little survey, or tried to do a little research, and it said there are close to 1,000 names and titles given about the Lord Jesus Christ. 1,000. And you can look it up for yourself. You see there are a lot of titles that are given about the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me give you one. He says there, let's go through this list that's given here. He said He shall be called Wonderful, and then we go to the next one, Counselor. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 34 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor?" You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ is here, He didn't go to His disciples and seek counsel. He didn't go to the kings and the educated of that day and seek counsel. The only counsel He sought was His Father's counsel. That's it. He didn't necessarily need to do that except because He was man. He did it. Solomon there, he was the wisest of all men besides the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. You know, he realized he was going to have to rule all these people. And so he realized the pressure of it, and he asked the Lord. He said, "Lord, would You give me wisdom?" Knew he needed wisdom. And when you look at here, the Bible says that His name is Counselor. Do you need wisdom? He's wonderful because God can give you the wisdom and the counsel that you need. He goes, another statement, he says, He's the mighty God, or the Almighty. In other words, He's the one who has all power. All power. We're talking about God's gift. We're talking about your Savior. We're talking about my Savior. The Bible says that He's Counselor. He's the mighty God. Then He says He's the everlasting Father. People don't realize who Jesus is. Now, He is part of the deity, and they're all distinct. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all distinct, but yet they're all one. You say, "Brother Sewell, how can you explain it?" I cannot. He's God. If I, as just a little finite created man, could explain the infinite God, He wouldn't be much of a God. But I know what the Bible says of Him. The Bible says that He is God's Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Before He came to this earth, He was still God's Son. He was begotten in human flesh, but He did not begin in Bethlehem. He has no beginning. And so He was there before, but the Bible says He is the everlasting Father. And so when you look at Jesus, that's who your Savior is. He is the everlasting Father. In other words, He is the Father of all eternity. He's the one that created time. He stepped out on nothing out of eternity and spoke this world into existence and made it have time. That's who we have, and that's who we serve. Then He says He's the Prince of Peace. Boy, the world is looking for peace. Even God's children are looking for peace. All the answers that you and I need to find are found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is wonderful. When I was in Bible class in school, they would give us all these different attributes about the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have names. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has titles, He has names. And so my wife, I believe her name is, I know her name is Michelle, not Charlene, but Michelle. But her name means, I believe, likened to the Lord. Is that right? But I can tell you, I live with her. She's not always likened to the Lord. Most of the time she is. And I can tell you, my name means, I can't remember what my name, son of my right hand. In other words, my favorite son or my beloved son. I can tell you, I wasn't always my father's beloved son. Those are the things, and names do mean something. But in this Bible class, they would give us attributes about the Lord Jesus Christ. They would say He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. And I'd look at those things. You know, all those things sounded good. I had to be tested on them. What does that mean? And so, you know, they sound good about this omniscient. And that means He's all-knowing. Omnipresent, that means He's ever-present. He's everywhere. And omnipotent means He's all-powerful. You know, all those titles and all those names, they are true. But they're not really what they ought to be to me till I get to know God and realize that He's there with me. He's omnipresent. That what I need, God's omniscient. He's all-powerful. He knows all these things. You know, Martha sought for the Lord Jesus Christ and she tried to get the Lord Jesus Christ to come there in John the 11th chapter to heal her brother Lazarus. He was sick. And the Lord Jesus Christ delayed His coming. And I'm sure she didn't understand it. And I'm sure she was in sorrowful. But in the process of the Lord Jesus Christ delaying His timing and coming, the Lord said it was for His glory. He said He's just asleep. But when He came to Martha, Martha was so broken because her brother had died and was in the grave, had been in the grave for 4 days. 4 days. And so the Lord Jesus Christ tries to comfort her. And He says unto her, He says, "Don't you know that I am life?" And she said, "Oh, I know that He'll come in the resurrection. I know He'll be resurrected." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." You know what she knew? She knew the Savior. She knew what He was come to do and that He would one day bring us all to heaven. She understood all that, but she didn't know God in a personal way. And so Jesus prayed to God the Father. Not because He had to, but yet the people might know. And He cried out in that cemetery. And He mentioned Him by name, because if He wouldn't have, they all would have come forth. That's not for good preaching. That's the truth. He is life. If He would have said, "Come forth," they all would have came forth. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." The Bible says He came forth. You know what she came to know? She came to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. She had a head knowledge, and maybe even a heart that she believed in her heart. But she didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as wonderful, at least in that way. There are all kinds of titles. There are all kinds of names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we grow, and the more we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the more He becomes wonderful to us. That's why I said each one of you would have something else to say. He's wonderful to me. The Lord's wonderful to me because He has taught me so many things trying to teach you. You know what my prayer is? I said, "Lord, teach me that I might teach others." I want you to grow. I won't be able to feed you, but I have to grow. And so I said, "Lord, unless You give it to me, I can't give it to them. I want You to be hungry enough that You feed yourself." Now I will tell you, God has never failed me. You may not like the message, but praise the Lord, I've loved them all. They might not have been all good messages, but God spoke to me and taught me out of His Word. You know what that means to me? It tells me God, He is wonderful. He's a wonderful God. He's God's gift. And because of His person, who He is. Can I say this in closing on that point? That God, these are not just His titles. These are not just His attributes. He is Counselor. That's who He is. He is Counselor. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. That's not His title. That's who He is. And so He's wonderful because of those things. Can I say this? He's wonderful because He has the answer. Or because He is the answer. In this last statement, or verse, part of the last part of verse number 7, we'll read the whole verse. "Of the increase of His government and His peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it." This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful. and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You know what he's saying in that statement? He's saying the Lord has all the power to make it come forth. And it will come forth. To unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is given. A child is born, a son is given. The Lord has done those two things. Bible prophecy. His name should be called Emmanuel. God with us. He's already done that. History proves it. Every Jew can tell you where Jesus was born. Whether they believe him or not, they know he's real. They know he was born. History tells us that. Prophecy begins to tell us. 700 years, God says this was a dark time in the time of Isaiah. But God gives him a view forward, a vision, 700 years before. And he tells us about this wonderful child that's coming. And in this, he says, the Lord will perform it. In other words, God has all the answers. He is the answer. I was reading a sermon the other day. I didn't finish it, but its title was, "Is Jesus or the Answer to a Thousand Questions?" And so the title caught my attention. I don't think I could listen to all 1,000. But I began to read it. And the preacher, Dr. Lee Robertson, said that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to 1,000 questions. And he went on to say, he said, not only is he the answer to 1,000 questions, he's the answer to all the questions. And in my mind, you know, I thought, well, I don't know about that. And that's where most of us will say, well, you know, Pastor, there's so much more scientific knowledge we have now. So much more technology, so many more medicines, so many more things that seem to be problems in those days that maybe they didn't have, but we have today. I can tell you, Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer. When I think of these things, I begin to think about the stories in scriptures. And he said the one story that came to my mind was the woman that had the issue of blood. You know, she was, I guess, had some sort of means, money. The Bible said when she spent all her money, and she had went to all the professionals. Some of you have health issues right now. That you've went to the professionals, you've went to the doctors, and you sought counsel, but they don't have the answer. Oh, they have a prescription maybe, but they don't have the answer. Well, that's where this woman was, the woman that had the issue of blood. She had a health issue. She had it for 12 years. She come to the end of her money. She come to the end of man's resources and man's wisdom. But when she had faith, she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God immediately healed her of her physical ailment. He is the answer. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't use doctors. God doesn't use other things and guide us. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if there's any healing given, whether it's through the doctor, it's all because of God. Every bit of it. Brother Lee Robertson said this. He said, I don't know the answer to the 1,000 questions many times. I'll tell you, it seems to be more and more people have questions. But I can tell you who has the answer. And that's what he said. He said, I will tell people, I don't have the answer. But I know God does, and I know His Word. If you'll get in His Word and seek Him in prayer, God will give you the answer. That's where you'll find it. I think about the man of Gadara. Remember him? No man could tame him. He was demon-possessed. No man had an answer. I'm sure they had maybe some things, maybe they might say, schizophrenic, bipolar, who knows what they were saying. They knew there was no answer man had for that man. They tried to tame him. They tried to put chains about him. They tried to contain him and hold him. And no one could hold him. He dwelt among the tombs and he cut himself and he'd throw himself in the fire. But when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw him the next time he was seated with the Lord Jesus Christ in his right mind and clothed. Who met his need? You know what that need was? It's a spiritual need. Physical need, the Lord met. The spiritual need, God met. Martha, her brother was in the tomb 4 days. She said, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. He stinks. He's a dead man. But the Lord Jesus just called him forth and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came from the grave alive. He said, unloose him, the grave clothes. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God has the answer over death, over disease, and over spirituality. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. And so when we come this Christmas, people want to say, I heard someone even in the hallway talk about our country, how bad it is. It is in bad shape. I'm going to tell you something. Our answer is not in the president. Our answer is not in Congress. Our answer is with his name is wonderful. Wonderful. God's people will get on their knees and get on their face with God. Doesn't mean they ought not vote, ought not do the thing they ought to. But God can change a nation and extend mercy to a nation and bring revival to a nation. You know, Nineveh was much like America. Everything was going great. Economy was good. And God sent Jonah to preach a message of repentance in that whole city from the king upward. Got saved. God can bring revival, whether it be in sorrow or when it seems everything has wealth. God's not limited. It's we that limit him. His name is wonderful. Do you know him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a moment, we'll begin to play Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I think God's children need to do exactly that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you.